Welcome to New American Radio, a series exploring new territories for the art of radio.
In its 10 years as a weekly national series from 1987 to 1998, New American Radio commissioned and distributed over 300 original works. Conceptual new drama, associational documentary, language explorations, sonic meditations, environmental compositions, musical explorations, and works that pioneer new dimensions in acoustic space. Wave Farm is thrilled to partner with New American Radio to ensure these works remain available to listeners today and into the future. New American Radio was organized by Helen Thorington, executive producer, and Regina Beyer, associate producer. A special thanks to both Helen Thorington and Joanne Green for their generous support and collaboration in this partnership. Up next is Pruning, a Love Story, William Morlock. Thank you for listening.
Maybe there will be someone or something in your life and you won't have room without a major readjustment. And I don't ever want any man to readjust their life for me again, because I know you did. And I don't want that. I'd like it to just kind of fit.
You crazy. You cut her love, man. You made her bleed. You cut away the living
tissue. As my name suggests, there is hope.
You gotta turn your yard into that formal garden, man. You went too far. You don't know where to stop, man. You don't know where to stop.
And I do love you.
Shit, man. You don't know where to stop. Hey, I'm talking to you!
And I think that you know
you
that.
You hear me? I know you do. You can't hide from me, man. You can't hide from me. I know all about you. I'm inside you, man. You might think I'm on the outside, but no, man. No!
You know more about me than anyone in the world.
I'm what you're going to become, man. You know that. I'm going to have you.
Go, Busters!
You think you know, man. You think you know so much.
I just want to experience things. I don't want to be taught. I don't want to be tested.
You throw away love, man. That's what happened.
Truly.
See, yeah, man. You throw it all away, man. You throw away your children, you get her. And you throw away her, man, because you're afraid of losing your children. But you're not going to get them back either, man. You lose, baby. You lose. Ha! You lose, man. Give it up, baby. No hope for you. No hope. Hey! Talking to you, man. Hey!
Shoot on, dude.
Dear Margarita, Margie, the really fascinating thing about an angry, blue-eyed soul voice yelling at me within my head is how painfully true everything he says seems.
I am what you are. I am inside you, and I'm getting out.
You see, voices assail me, Margie.
You just don't let yourself feel and be.
Chaos beckons.
You know it, man!
It's all I can do to keep the tangled trees in my yard under some kind of ornamental critical control.
You a joke. You a joke, man. Oh, God!
Oh, how do you answer that? Seriously, how do you answer that without the same nightmare sound rising in your own throat? Or mine? Yeah, that's it. A chaos, Margie. A chaos that feeds on my own experience.
Chaos. 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 Chaos.
And here it comes. A chaos systemic to my own soul. Page 2.
Hey, Ray, what are you doing?
Oh, I was just feeling sorry for myself. Trying to figure out how I'm going to really be your father still, even though I don't live with you anymore. How about you? What's the ectoplasmic climate like on the streets?
Something weird. Neighborhood.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Let's get our proton pass.
Yeah. Let's get our proton
pass. Do, 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 do.
Well, chicken sewers.
Margie.
Well, there's something
priestess
weird
of warmth and love. Sister of hope, literally, for your name used to be Esperanza, too. Here is a rundown, a roster, the components of the chaos in the life of yours truly, Clayton Balfour. Two beautiful, intelligent children, ages 4 and 6, Hetty Catherine and Parker Lynn, respectively. An ex-wife who represents to me living, walking, testifying proof of my worthlessness as a father, husband, and man. Maria Esperanza, the love of my life, whose hunger for both love and life threatened to swallow me. Anthony and Alana, Maria's two children, who cling to me more enthusiastically than my own children do. A job demanding a new performance every day, guaranteed fresh, no frozen goods allowed. The little house on 34th and Fever, 4 rooms and a bath, in a battleship gray box. Every time I come home, I remember I'm on the run from something. 3 plum trees and a sickly apple in my backyard. A tangle from neglect, they look like some sort of beckoning portal to hell. Here we go again. To cut. And cut. And cut. And cut. Even if you cut too close and you hurt and you
cut away at the living tissue. Oh, baby.
We didn't try to hurt one another.
We know.
And here they come.
You're fake.
There has to be a wonder about
it's
something.
It's all fake.
Maybe I don't find wonder in everything that you find
wonder. I am what you are. I am inside you and I'm getting out.
And I don't see anything wrong with that.
Stop! Stop.
David said, he said, when I'm afraid, I will trust in thee. Speaking about Christ, of course, our God.
Well, I just sit down, close my eyes,
that's the main deal.
And keep track of my breaths. Just breathe in and out deeply and slowly and center myself.
And
I go to an AA meeting.
Emotional problems. Then David said,
go on vacation.
He trusted the Lord to restore his soul.
Twice a month.
No, I was taught that through my interest in Eastern religions, and so
I don't do anything.
Technique used.
I don't let life get that bad to me.
It's like Zazen is a form of breathing like that, where they count their breaths.
I drink.
So I've learned that.
And when I think about the future, I think of you.
That's a sure thing.
And when I hear a song on the radio when I cry, it's for you.
The unchangeable in the natural can be changed. Hi.
Once upon a time.
He cut away at her heart, made her bleed. Killed her love, man.
There lived 3 ducks.
And I think that we tried to do anything but hurt one another.
They didn't love each other.
And in doing that, we hurt one another.
Hey!
He got lost.
I don't regret getting to know myself better.
I know about you. I am you, man. Be crazy.
That's all, folks.
Hey!
I'm tired, Margie. It's hard to keep this up. Maybe the order in the world is not always manifest, but I believe it is there to be pried out. Somehow, to be pried out by some means. And to the extent that this order cannot be imposed by a heavy, frustrated, despondent hand, as much as I would like to cut away everything, but must be allowed to grow up with a person or a situation or a system as the trunk of a birch tree grows up under it. To that extent, within every chaos, there is an order signaling wildly to get out. Palinurus, minor figure of Troy, guise of a cranky critic from England, I leave to you the burden of clarity.
The supreme liberty is liberty from the body. The last freedom is freedom from time. The true work of art, the one which the seventh wave of genius throws far up the beach, where the undertow of time cannot drag it back. When all the motives that lead artists to create have fallen away, and the satisfactions of vanity and the play instinct been exhausted, there remains the desire to construct that which has its own order, as a protest against the chaos to which all else appears condemned. While thought exists, words are alive, and literature becomes an escape not from, but into living.
You fake! You trying to carry on some kind of civilized narrative? I'm in here?
In Kles Karen's town, the local witch comes out round midnight, and the feckless sons of a harebrained old gypsy woman named Raquel run and jump and tumble till the sweat cascades from brow to knee. In Kles Karen's town, nobody thinks twice about them, or about Younger the Hobo, or about the preacher Sims, who gives away bags of raisins with his street-corner sermons, a salvation for the digestive system, or about Aston Melby, the hate man, who just sits in the town square and zeroes in on a victim with his black death gaze, then with a forefinger long and gnarled as the low limb of a cypress, he points out that hour's transgressor. I hate you. Kles Karen is the most sanguine man in a town full of people who don't care one way or another what demented creatures walk the streets or what conspiratorial souls haunt the mossy woods south of town. In Kles Karen's town, they don't worry. They don't bother. They live their lives and marvel at what passes before their eyes as humanity. They consider it the great cavalcade of life. They hold themselves lucky just to witness it, to live it, to smile and to talk with one another, or with Kles Karen himself about the crazy things they saw that day. If you can't imagine a place like Kles Karen's town, if you can't quite believe that any self-respecting municipality would tolerate these disturbing square pigs, much less wonder over them and marvel at them, even venerate the effect they have on their own lives, if you're quite sure that your town would toss together the hate man and Preacher Sims and Younger the Hobo and the feckless sons of Raquel the Gypsy, toss them together and run them out of town on the first conveyance faster than a dreamer's stroll, then Kles Karen's town has good news for you. They'll take them in. They'll take your misfits and your wild hairs and your fragile spirits and give them a home where they don't have to change and are not hated for it. Kles Karen is the man to get in touch with. It's a genuine deal and something worth looking into if you're a town with too many messy humans in it. Only thing is, Kles Karen doesn't provide an address or directions or even a phone number. You have to find him yourself. But how are you going to find Kles Karen's town when you don't even know the time of day? There are crises, sure enough, Margie. There are crises, and there are resolutions. There is chaos, and there is order. There is the hellish din of nightmarish sounds. And there are quiet places where thought exists and words are alive. Page 3.
No, you don't get off that easy, man! That's not you! That's not you talking! You forgot about me! It doesn't end here! Don't forget about me!
Can't you ever talk without yelling?
Can't you ever talk like you had a pure, hard desire, man? What do you want to leave me behind for, man? What are you afraid of?
I can get along without you. I found it. I found the order.
No, you don't get off that easy, man. It's not that easy.
I did. I found the order in a story about something outside of me.
But man, you can't know anything else because you don't know you. You're leaving part of you behind. Look, here I am, man. Look at me in the face and know yourself, baby. I can quote Palinurus too, man. And when I quote him, this is what I have him say.
A mistake which is commonly made about neurotics is to suppose that they are interesting. It is not interesting to be always unhappy, engrossed with oneself, malignant or ungrateful, and never quite in touch with reality. Neurotics are heartless. As Baudelaire wrote, tout homme qui n'accepte pas les conditions de la vie vend son âme.
I suppose we could have stayed together. We could have struggled it out. I don't think in the long run it would have been the best for either of us.
You can't prevent me!
Any man who cannot accept the conditions of life is doomed to sell his soul. Thank you, Monsieur Baudelaire. According to you, I must be the super salesman of the world, so we might as well make something good out of this. Chorus of voices, at the ready. Thank you.
Read.
Go shopping.
Play basketball.
Sit and think about it.
No, no, try again.
I go buy something.
Watch some television.
Take a long walk over a short pier.
No, you're all as misguided as I was. No, the answer is this. You take your personal pain and you put it into a program. But not only that, you take your personal pain and put it into a program about how to take your personal pain and put it into a program. But how to make your real money is to take your personal pain and turn it into a program about how to take your personal pain and put it into a program. And you've got them. You got your audience. Margie, are you listening? The letter continues. Snuck into the larger broadcast. Page 4. Stay tuned.
And now, from the little gray gunmetal shack on the corner of 34th and Fever, it's Pruning. One man's complaint on waking from dream today. From his backyard, amid the tangle of unruly plum trees that look more like a beckoning portal to hell, here's your host, Clayton Balfour. Here's Clay.
Hi, everybody. My name is Clayton Balfour, and the program is Pruning. One man's complaint on waking from dream today, rather a last-gasp alternative to coping. First off, this music is completely too dramatic and emotional, not nearly surgical enough for our purposes. So out it goes for something cleaner and something with a nice saw-toothed edge. All right, first thing I'd like to do today, by way of showing you how to rid your life of some of its messier conditions in as violent and wrenching and desperate way as possible, and at the same time selling your soul cheap to your local Distin dealer, is to demonstrate the proper technique for cutting out of your life a lover who just doesn't fit. First, you want to make a small incision beneath the limb that is grafted onto you, so that when you saw through from the top, the cut is clean and doesn't tear at the bottom, thus causing needless pain, to demonstrate.
We both readjusted our lives in very major ways.
And they didn't always connect on the other end.
No, they never did. For either of us.
It tore anyway. It sometimes does that. I'm never quite sure why.
A love affair is a grafting operation. What has once been joined never forgets. There is a moment when the graft takes. Up to then is possible without difficulty the separation which afterwards comes only through breaking off a great hunk of oneself, the ingrown fiber of hours, days, years. The secret of happiness, and therefore of success, is to be in harmony with existence. To be always calm, always lucid, always willing, to be joined to the universe without being more conscious of it than an idiot, to let each wave of life wash us a little farther up the shore.
Hey, everyone! Do you want to guess what my present is today?
Now, while you're busy cleaning off the blade for the next operation, consider the children.
Okay, try to guess.
They're a source of anxiety and chaos, too.
I wonder what it is.
But not to worry.
Guess, everyone.
Since your divorce, your ex-wife has gotten a job in Pennsylvania.
I think yours is.
And you'll only be seeing them 2 months each summer for the next 15 years.
A pair of scissors. Nope.
Congratulations. If you have been following step by step on pruning today, you will have by now successfully cut out of your life all the representatives of light and liveliness, of love and devotion from your life, everything that you just can't handle, that you just can't cope with, that have added to the chaos of your life. And now, all you have to take care of is that last small voice whispering in your ear.
Because it's ugly what you do! You are ugly, man! You are ugly!
But you may be asking yourselves, why does it seem that that is the only voice, the only manifestation of chaos that it just seems I'm not going to be able to get rid of at all?
I am what's inside you, man, and I want out! I want out! Let me out!
Well, you're right. You're not. It's the one voice you can't get rid of. It's the one voice you can't saw away. It's the one voice you can't run away from.
You know it, man! You're gonna let me out! Let me out!
But there is a way. Out of the chaos, out of the sounds, out of the awful inability to cope with everything in your lives, you turn toward the hills to find refuge. You've gotten rid of love. You've rejected devotion. Don't you feel better? You've cut it out of your life. Don't you feel better? Don't you feel better? Don't you feel better? Don't you feel better?
You can't hide from me, man! You can't hide from me!
They say that there are flaxen effigies of saints and angels in the hills above Hallam. They say that there are communities of sylphs who sing unearthly harmonies that can beguile a woman or a man into a former life. They say that there, illusions are more real than a deep draw choked with live oak, and that the sturdy oak themselves shimmer in the sun and tease the eye and sometimes fly around like crazed blackbirds chasing a hawk. That's what they say. That in the town of Hallam, the residue of imagination, electronically disseminated and communicated, floats gently up from the dense hurly-burly of multi-pathed microwave lines and broadcast signals, rises gently on a wind as insubstantial as nerve impulses and as old as time, and settles in the hills. There you'll find a flickering television image of William Faulkner describing the troubles of Joe Christmas. Gene Kelly and Debbie Reynolds and Donald O'Connor dance endlessly in a chronic hysteresis of Hollywood musical glee. Ben Hogan wins the 1950 Open Championship at Marion every day. Elvis stirs it up on Sullivan, the Red Sea parts. Rex Harrison winces and cackles and complains. The eerie Gaelic voice of Sarah Bernhardt, cast in lampblack, wafts by. And Ed Murrow throws down the gauntlet to the junior senator from Wisconsin, brought to you by Alcoa. You can get into the hills above Hallam by leaving town on foot by an unseen street, passing by three unknown landmarks. As long as you stop and compose an ode, paint a picture, and sing a song of sad parting at each, respectively. Then, only 27 or 28 riddles of increasing difficulty and complexity, testing your love of useless things, stands between that road yet imperfectly discovered and the hills. But from there, the reward is immediate and ravishing. Suddenly, down from behind the flaxen effigies of saints and angels, a voice separates itself from the choir of sylphs and sets the trees to dreaming and dancing. I'd like to end on a note of beauty and calm, marking all the best to you and yours. I may not have esperanza, but for some reason, I have hope. Love, Clay.
I hear those pretty thoughts, man.
Axiom.
Not laugh at them.
There is no happiness to be obtained by the destruction of another's.
Everybody will laugh.
To take wife away from husband or husband from wife is a kind of murder.
Because they will know they see you. They see me.
Guilt turns lovers into bad accomplices.
You don't know it, but they see me.
And the wrecking of a home destroys the wreckers.
Because it's ugly what you do.
As we leave others, so shall we be left.
You are ugly, man! You are ugly!
And that is the end of the story, folks.
No, man! Stand there! Stand there! I'm gonna pummel your goddamn face in if you had one. Yeah, man, yeah. Do it. Hurt me, man. Hurt me, yeah. But touch me. God. Know me. Don't deny me, man. Don't deny me. God damn it. Stand there. Stand there. You need me. I need you.
I love you.
I love you too.
I love you, man. I love you. Take care of us, man. Heal us. Heal us. Heal us!
I don't feel like a terrible monster right now.
Good. You never were a terrible monster.
You just heard Pruning, a Love Story, William Morlock, broadcast by New American Radio.